God's Word with you. We've been covering a series called The Lord's Prayer, and it's quite fascinating, actually, and we've been learning a lot. And today, I'm going to mess with you a little bit, if that's okay. I like to do that. I like to set you up to be all comfortable, and then bam! Deal with that. So I'm the emerald, maybe, of preachers. But let's pray before we get into God's Word. Father, we anticipate you coming in the midst of us, because your word says you inhabit the praises of your people. And God, we come with different backgrounds and different circumstances, but Lord, we know one thing is true, that you are able to do all things in all circumstances, and that you will receive glory from your people, Lord. We thank you for this opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, we've been learning about the Lord's Prayer and what it means to pray, and so I just want to just remind you that prayer is, it's not a grocery list that you can come to God and say, God, I want two of those and three of those, and maybe a little bit later I'll take five of those. Oh, there's a big time sale, so maybe I can get 10 or 12 of those, and it's not, prayer is not like that at all. It's not a grocery list that you go to God with. Your first concern in regards to prayer needs to be the name of God, to make it holy, to praise his name. The next concern you've got to have is the kingdom of God, that his kingdom comes in your life, in your business, in your family, in your relationships, in every aspect of your life, that the kingdom of God comes into your life. And then now it's not your will, but it's his will be done in your life. And so these are the prerequisites, or this is sort of the formula, or this is the model that Jesus has. And so basically, we don't come to him with a grocery list, but we come wanting his name to be known, we come wanting his kingdom to come, and we want his will to be done. Then finally, after all that is done, God shows us what we need to ask next. And he says, give us this day our daily bread. In other words, he's saying, I have a high priority in meeting your needs. That it is in the center of my mind to meet your needs. But here's the problem with most Christians today, is that we don't want to live for God. We want God to live for us. Let me say that again. Our problem is that many of us don't want to live for God, and that we just want God to live for us. We just want his provision, but we don't care about his kingdom, we don't care about his will, and dearly, we don't care about his name. In fact, many times we take his name in vain. And so here we are as Christians, as believers, wanting his provision, but not wanting to care about his name, his will, his kingdom. And so we're going to look at that line, give us this day our daily bread, which is located in Matthew chapter 6. And you don't have to turn there now, because we're actually going to go somewhere else. But if you look at Matthew chapter 6, starting with verse 1, God talks about the needy and how we need to give to the poor, and our hearts have to be to the poor and needy. And then he gives the Lord's Prayer, and then he talks about treasures in heaven, that, you know, where our heart is, that's where our treasure is, and then we got to have our hearts in heaven and our treasures in heaven, where rust and moth do not decay and things like that. And then he goes on, the rest of the chapter talking about the birds of the air and the flowers of the field, how God takes care of them. And then in Matthew 6:33, we know the famous line, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So here's the context of the Lord's Prayer. In the midst of the context of talking about the needy, of talking about giving to the poor, talking about our treasures not on this earth and in heaven, and talking about how God takes care of people, here we are. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. Every country in this world has some sort of bread, some form of bread, some style of bread. And depending on what country or continent you're from, you take great pride in your bread. You talk to Europeans, and they think their bread is the most incredible bread. You know, the French, you know, baguettes, oui, you know, and things like that. It's like, oh, you know. To me, they're a little stiff and dry and hard, but, you know, hey, they're great, you know, whatever. you know, you're asking, are you trying to offend anybody, make fun? Yeah, I'm trying to make fun of somebody. Anyways, and then you come to Taiwan and like, oh, the Taiwanese have incredible bread. And you ask different countries and they'll say, well, we have bread that you have never even heard of. You know, and so there's this pride, and every country, every culture, every society has some sort of bread. And so when Jesus is saying to his disciples, pray in this way, give us this day our daily bread, that is not a foreign concept. That's not something that's hard to grasp. We understand that bread means our sustenance. You know, depending on your culture, you know, maybe for Asian culture, we've got to retranslate this into, God, give us this day our daily rice. You know, I don't know. Or maybe for the Europeans, you know, God, give us this day our daily pasta, you know, or wine, or, you know, whatever, you know. But you understand the point. God, give us this day our daily sustenance. Give us the thing that it takes for us to live. You know, in this ancient culture, it was bread was the primary source of that. But that's not where the power of this this request comes from. When Jesus is telling his disciples, I want you to pray in this way, give us this day our daily bread, he has something in his mind. He has something that he's referencing to. He has some sort of thing that he wants, when he says that, like a lot of times he does, when he says something, the listener or the Israelites have a different reference that goes in the past. And that's where the power comes in, and this is where you're going to get messed up this afternoon. Can you turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 30? Proverbs chapter 30. We're going to talk about the Lord's Prayer, give us this day our daily bread, but we're going to talk about where it comes from. Proverbs 30. It's right after Psalms, the book right after Psalms. And we're going to look at chapter 30, verse 8 and 9. I want you to, you know, and after I read this is sort of the primary crux of what I want to talk about. Verse 8 of chapter 30. Keep falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Give me only my daily bread. So when Jesus is saying to his disciples, pray in this way, give us this day our daily bread, he is actually referencing Proverbs 30, where it says, give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Now, this is referencing something back in Exodus in the history of the Israelites, which you probably can understand and get and go there, is that when the Israelites in Exodus chapter 16 were just taken out of Egypt and out of captivity, and they were wandering in the desert for 40 years, and they ate every single day manna, right? Manna, bread that came from heaven. They had manna burgers, they had manna stir fry, they had manna in chips, they had, you know, manna steak, you know, medium well. They had manna everything, manna salad. Every single day they had manna, and this is what it's referencing. Give me only my daily bread. And there's something powerful that we're going to learn this afternoon about what Jesus is trying to accomplish about daily bread and asking God for daily bread. Going back to the Lord's Prayer, it says, give us this day. Give. That first word, give. Turn to somebody and say, give. Give us this day. That word, give, is a key word. It's the main word of that whole phrase, give. Because what it does is it recognizes, I get it from you, God. Whatever I receive, I get it from you. And so when I get it from you, I want you to give it to me. My son Elijah, every morning he comes to church and he wants soy milk. I know it. You know, we bribe him with it. You know, it's this, you know, the Vita machine, man, it's awesome, right? And so he wants soy milk. But one thing is for sure, he's got to ask me. I'm not going to give, because I don't want to give it to him just, you know, extraneously. I just, if he wants it, I'll give it to him, and all he has to do is ask. And so this morning he screamed. He goes, soy milk! I said, I know. But did you ask me? He's like, soy milk. I said, Elijah, I want you to ask me. He's like, I want soy milk. You want soy milk what? Please. Right, how can you say no to that, right? And so I give, but the reason why he asks me, or he may ask you, is because, check this out, he knows he can get it from you. He knows that you're the one that can give it to him. Because when you ask a person, you ask because you know you can get it from them, because he or she is the giver of those things. Here's where I'm going. When you ask, give us this day our daily bread, you are submitting yourself to the understanding that it only comes from God. God, you are the giver of my sustenance, and that's why I'm asking you. And so Jesus has made a promise to meet all of your needs. He didn't promise to meet your greeds, but he promised to meet your needs. Can I get an amen? And here's what the Bible is teaching us. It is teaching us to ask for no more than we really need. See, because the Bible goes against the consumerism that has infiltrated our church. The consumerism and the attitude that we have, even in church, is that I want to get as much as I can, many times as I can. I grew up in an Asian family, and so we are used to this sort of hoarding mentality. And so I don't know how it is in Hong Kong or where you're from, but we would go to buffets. And for some reason, you know, my mom always liked to get extra napkins. You know, they always take like more napkins than you need. And it's like, really, do you need that many napkins? And then I begin to realize, I know what it's for. Because before you leave the buffet, you go down the line one more time, you get a muffin here, and you get, vegetables here, you get some fruit here, and you open your purse, and you wrap it in the napkin, and you put it in your bag, and things like that. It's just the mentality that we have, and we want to hoard it up. And so we have this consumer mentality of, I'm going to get as much as I can, as full as I can, and there's nothing wrong with that, but what I'm saying, and I'm getting to something, is that the Bible teaches against this consumer attitude that we have. Give us this day our daily bread. The first thing I want you to notice about this prayer, it's a prayer of dependency. It's saying, Father, apart from you, I can't receive anything. Apart from you, I wouldn't be here. Apart from you, I wouldn't be able to eat. Apart from you, I can do nothing. Give me our daily bread. Give us this day our daily bread. God, you are my provider, you're my supporter, and I am here to declare my total dependence upon you. In Deuteronomy, we're reminded, it is God who gives us the power to get wealth. It is not your ability, it's not your intelligence, it's not your strength, it's not your skills. It is God who gives you the power to get wealth. That would be a good time to say amen. It is God's power that gives you wealth. I want to recite you a poem. Often we forget as we eat our daily bread, from whom it all has come to us who are well fed. But may we all remember as we walk upon this sod that everything we have is from the hand of God. The second thing I want you to notice as we go through this is that this is a prayer of sufficiency. A prayer of sufficiency. It's a prayer for the necessities of life and not the luxuries of life. Notice that Jesus didn't say, give us this day our chocolate ice cream. Give us this day our thick crust pizza. Give us this day our luxurious car. This prayer is a prayer based on sufficiency for the basic things in life. Martin Luther makes a very important observation, and he says that this daily bread is not just referring to food. It's a symbol for the things that we need and for the preservation of our lives, whether it be food, health, housing, employment, good government, or a happy marriage. In other words, when we pray for daily bread, we're asking God for today's sustenance, whether it be physically or whether it be spiritually. It doesn't matter what your needs are right now. Maybe the biggest need you have right now is a life to have strength to make it through today. Maybe you're tired, you're run down, you're fighting a cold, maybe you're sick. And maybe the daily bread that you need now is for strength to make it through today. You know what God promises? He promises that he'll give it to you. Give us this day our daily bread. Or maybe your biggest need in your life right now is for guidance. Maybe you're trying to figure out on what job or what God's will is, or maybe you're stressed out. Maybe you need some direction in your life. Maybe you want to ask your boss to put you on a different shift, or maybe you should step out in faith and apply to a different company, or maybe you should stay here where you are. And maybe what you need right now is some guidance. Jesus says, I can give that to you right now. Or maybe the daily bread you need right now is maybe a word from the Lord to encourage your heart throughout the day. Maybe the word that you need is Philippians 4, that my God is able to supply all your needs through Christ Jesus our Lord, through his glorious riches. Maybe that's the word of God for you. We're singing this morning of that song, God is Able. And just really touched by the Spirit of God, because ultimately all I want to say in regards to give us this day our daily bread is God is able. No matter how hungry you are, God is able. No matter how defeated you are, God is able. No matter how many setbacks you've had, God is able. No matter how many defeats you have, God is able. No matter how pain, grief-stricken you are, God is able. No matter if it seems impossible, God is able. Because he takes the impossible and he says to it, I am possible. It is nothing that is too impossible for God, because God is able. And then in the bridge it says, God is for us. He will never leave us. He will never leave us. He has never failed us. He has never failed us, because God is able. He has a promise. Give us this day our daily bread. And it is whatever you need, it's not what you greed or want. God is able. He is able. And so maybe the word that you need right now is the word of God that says, my God is able to provide all of your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus our Lord. Can I get an amen? Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread. And it's a prayer of sufficiency. I mentioned in Matthew 6, in that same chapter of the Lord's Prayer, it says in 6:33, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. I used to think that, man, you know, if I wanted a car, then I just got to seek first his kingdom, you know, and all of these things. If I wanted a girlfriend, you know, seek first his kingdom and all of these things. And I've had preachers, pastors tell me, you know, all of these things. You know what the word all means? It means all. Okay, so, you know, I want a wife. I want a house. Seek his kingdom and you'll get a house. I need a bigger house. Seek first his kingdom and he will bless you with a bigger house. And that's what I thought. But as I study this more and as I see it in the context, it isn't that at all. Because the gospel teaches us, and the Bible teaches us, give us this day our daily bread. Proverbs 30 says, I don't want to ask for riches nor poverty, but only my daily bread. And so when it says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all these things, he's saying he promises to meet your daily needs and not your daily greeds. The third thing I want you to notice is that this is a prayer of community. Notice how Jesus doesn't say, pray like this, give me my daily bread. Give it to me. No, he says, give it to us. Give us this day. Who is the us referring to? The us is referring to the community of God. I think you've got to understand that you've got to change the way that you pray. It's got to move from me to us. This is the model that Jesus gives us. It's got to move from me to us. There's nothing wrong with praying for yourself. You've got to pray for yourself. That's great. But it's got to be a movement from me to us, because the scriptures are constantly talking about how our faith is not about you alone, you by yourself, you in isolation. It's walking this life together. And so if you're going to pray for our daily sustenance. Pray for your house church's daily sustenance. Pray for your family's daily sustenance. And so we come to EMP and when we pray for the body and the community, that's what God wants us to do, and he's pleased when we do that. Ephesians 6 says, be diligent and always keep on praying for all of the saints. I know in house church, and this is not a plug for house church. Yes, it is. It's a plug. Let's just be real, okay? But I know, you know, in every house church, you pray for one another and you pray for one another's needs. And as I read scripture and as I begin to understand the heart of God through scripture, I know God is pleased, because that's what he wants. He wants you to pray. But here's the thing. Many of us hear the requests made and we pray about it and we pray about it. I wonder if God is calling some of us to meet the needs of the people in the house church and not just pray about it. I wonder if the answer to prayer is you. I wonder if there's any precedence in the scriptures that has us being used by God to meet the needs of people as we pray in community. I'm just leaving it out there. I wonder. But what I want to focus on for the rest of this message is why ask for only a day's supply? In Proverbs 30, it says, "Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only." Somebody say only. Only my daily bread. See, because that messes me up. I wish the writer had taken that word out, only. It's like, you know, give me my daily bread and everything else I want and everything I ask for and everything I desire and all the greed that I have. You know, give us my daily bread, and because I'm seeking your kingdom, God, so all these things that are good to me, you know. But you know what? As I look at my life, only my daily bread, that really cuts down a lot of what I have. You know, honestly, this shirt, do I need it? No, I have like 7 or 8 shirts. Doesn't mean I'm going to preach naked. No, I'm not going to preach naked. All right? The Bible also says don't be a stumbling block. And I know, you know, it's going to be a stumbling block for a lot of the guys too. You know what I'm saying? You know, in a negative way, not because it's so. All right, let's move on. But as I meditate on this, give me only my daily bread. Man, all the clothes that I have. Man, I have too much. All the food that I have eaten right prior to service for lunch. Too much. All the money in my bank account. Too much. I don't know if you think that way, but I know that. Too much. And so this messes me up. And I struggle because bam, there it is, deal with it. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. See, this is what God is getting at. I want you to follow. This is what God is getting at. If you remember back in Exodus 16 when the Israelites just came out of captivity, you know, think about it. They're so excited, in such a spiritual high. There was victory. A battle was won. They were released from the captivity of Pharaoh. They went, and now they're excited. You know, it's like we finally have been set free, and now we're going, and we're going to go to the promised land. And then now they're in the wilderness, and they're looking at their watches, thinking, "Hey, Moses, it's been about 10 hours. You know, we're getting kind of hungry. Hey, is there a 7-Eleven anywhere? Is there, you know, is there a McDonald's on the corner anywhere? I mean." You know, my kid is getting a little hungry here. I think it's time to eat. And as they walk through the desert, they see nothing. And so God hears the grumbling and the complaints, and he says, so the Lord says to Moses, "I will rain down bread from heaven for you. The people are to go out each day and gather enough for that day. In this way, I will test them and see whether they will follow my instructions." And so somebody with a lot of time did some calculations, and he calculated how much ground was filled with manna, right? And so he sat there and calculated that, and what the number that he came up to was that the amount of a surface area that was covered with manna every single day for 40 years was about 266 football fields, American football fields. And so that sort of area was filled every single day. You know, it's like, wow, like manna burgers, manna stir fry, manna, you know, everything. It's just like, man, sick and tired of manna. And so here's what's happening. The Lord instructed them, I want you to follow this. The Lord instructed them, I'm going to do this every single day. And I want you to gather just enough for that day. Don't gather any more. Don't gather any less. Just gather enough. Somebody say enough. Just gather enough for that day. But what happened is that some of these Israelites apparently knew my mom and decided that I'm not going to just get a little for today. I'm just going to get some extra napkins and a purse and bag, and I'm just going to, you know, put some in my, I'm going to get some extra for tomorrow, you know. We're going to heat it up, you know, tomorrow morning, have it for breakfast. It's going to be great, you know, a manna omelet, you know what I'm saying? And so we're just going to take care of that for tomorrow. natural thing. You know, I'm inclined to do that. You know, every time I get free meal, you know, I just eat up as much as I can because I never know, you know, especially in college, when the next meal is going to come. So, you know, you just get more than you plan on getting. Here's the problem. The next day happens and they wake up and they're excited for their manna omelet or manna pancake or whatever they're going to have, you know. And the Bible says that they opened up the manna and maggots begin to crawl out of it, and it begins to rot and decay, and it was just destroyed. And that was the punishment of the Lord, right? And you're saying, well, what's the big deal of getting a little bit extra for today? Because here's the problem. The Israelites began to distrust God for their daily provision. They didn't believe that God was going to provide for the next day. And so what they did was they took extra from that single day just in case. You ever do that, anybody? You know, I'm just going to grab a little more, you know, toilet paper just in case. I go to the mainland and there's none, you know. I'm just going to take a little bit extra just in case. I'm going to save a little bit of money. Now, there's nothing wrong with taking a little bit extra. There's nothing wrong with saving money, but I want you to understand the heart of God and the principle of God. I'm just going to take a little. I'm going to save a little. I'm going to hold a little just in case. My question is, just in case what? Well, just in case I lose my job, or just in case what? Just in case God doesn't provide for you tomorrow? Well, you know, I got to have an emergency fund. I've got to have retirement. I've got to have pension. Yeah. No, hey, that's shrewd, wise financial planning. I understand that. But I want you to examine the heart, because the Bible is more concerned about examining the heart. It's not about the money. It's not about the amount. It's not about the wealth. But when our heart says, well, I'm going to save this up just in case, the question is, just in case what? No, just say it. Just tell God, just in case what? Because what you're saying is, just in case you don't provide for me tomorrow. Just in case you're not there for me. Just in case I can't count on you. Just in case. Give us this day our daily bread. Throughout Scripture, God is clear. See, as the Israelites went out 40 years in Deuteronomy 8, they give an account of what happened. It says that your clothes did not wear out. Your feet did not swell during these 40 years. And your sandals did not wear out. That they should find strength. Can you imagine? I know some of us are incredible runners, long-distance runners, you know, like they do marathons as a warm-up and a stretch, you know. It's like, and, you know, I have some running shoes, and they've only lasted me a few miles. Okay, they can last me longer, but I've determined that, okay, these shoes are not working. So anyways, but the Bible says that God provided for them 40 straight years, and their clothes did not wear out, and their sandals did not wear out, and their feet did not blister. I know after one race, right, feet swell and blister and things like that, but God provided for them. Can I get an amen? What is so significant about give us this day our daily bread, our daily bread, our daily bread? It's because our relationship with God is not based on a weekly schedule. It is based on a daily schedule. It's not, our relationship with God is not based on 2 p.m. Sunday afternoons. It's not a weekly schedule. Give us this day our weekly bread. See, we have a hard time with that because many of us, we want all our stuff up front. You know, we want to see that in our bank account, that we want it all up front so that we don't need to trust God anymore because we already have it in front of us. We don't want to take any more steps of faith. We don't want to have to wait for God. And we don't want to be tempted to have to worry about anything ever again. We want it up front, and we want everything to be right in front of us. But that is not the principle. God wants us to trust Him for our daily provision. That this vocabulary of just in case is removed. Because there is no just in case. There is I am that I am, and I will provide, and it is what it is. Amen. Done. There is no just in case. Because you know what? Why daily bread? Because we only get life in daily increments. There is no guarantee for tomorrow. You only have today. You want to save up? Oh my goodness, my father, very stingy man. I can say that because, you know, he's in heaven. So, I mean, you know, stingy man, and this is the tragedy. He passed away in 2006 after long battle. I don't want to even go into all that. He had an accident, and he was left paralyzed and was bedridden for about 10 years, and finally it's time for him to go be with the Lord. But his whole life was devoted to saving, and he promised my mom that, you know, after we retire, you know, we would go travel the world, and, you know, you have to forgive my stinginess now and penny pinching now, because, wait, there's going to be a day where we're going to take all our savings and we're going to enjoy life. The tragedy is that day never came. He died before he was able to do, and all that money could have been used for the kingdom of God. And instead, it was just saved and saved and saved and saved. Why daily bread? Now, I'm not saying, you know, don't save for a rainy day. I'm not saying don't, you know, I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying this is a heart issue. Because tomorrow's not guaranteed. For any of us who have kids in this room, you kind of know that you're willing to do anything for your kids, right? That you would do anything within the law to make sure that they have what you need. And some of us psycho parents, you know, we'll break the law to make sure that our kids have what they need, you know. But that's why the Bible says, God, don't give me poverty, because I'm gonna. Do we even read verse 9? No, I don't think so. Well, let's read verse 9, Proverbs 30:9. Well, we'll start in 8. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you. And say, who is the Lord? Or I may be poor and steal, and so dishonor the name of my God. That's the problem with poverty, that we steal and we do things to dishonor God. But also, we pray not for our riches. And the reason is, verse 9, otherwise I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? I don't think any of us in this room, you know, has ever prayed, God, do not give me riches. Do not give me promotions. Do not upgrade my life. You know, I think most of us were like, God, don't make me poor. You know, I remember my call into ministry, right? There was a call in my life to be a pastor or to be in ministry, and I said no. And my number one reason is my prayer to God is, God, I don't want to be poor. Please don't make me poor. In fact, isn't that why we work? Isn't that why we work so hard? Isn't that why we do what we do? Is because we're striving not to be poor, but to be rich. Yet the writer here is saying, God, don't make me poor, but he's also saying, don't make me rich. When's the last time you prayed that? Otherwise, I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Anyways, those of you who have children, you know, you'll do anything to make sure your kids have what they need. And if that's how you feel about that, about your children that way, how much more does God feel about his children? See, now I want to encourage you, y'all have kids. You know, you just have kids and you'll understand this. You know, do it the right way, you know, get married and, you know, do it appropriate. Don't just have, okay, Pastor Gene said have kids, I'm going to have a kid. No. But here's the deal. Every parent can empathize and understand what I'm saying, is that we will do anything for us, for our kids to have their needs met. And if I feel this way, how much more does God feel that way about his children? Matthew 7 says, which one of you, if your son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Can I get an amen? See, because I'm going to do everything in my power to provide for every need that Elijah has. I'm going to do everything I can. But sometimes I'm powerless. But can I tell you the truth? That our God is not powerless. He is powerful. He is full of power. He is not less of power. He is full of power. And he's able to provide all of your needs according to his glorious riches. Can I get an amen? Amen. This is the kind of God we serve. That he's going to do everything in his power to make sure your needs are met. Can I get any amens from the YWAMers in this place? See, because YWAMers know what I'm talking about. They know exactly what I'm talking about. They are living by faith, and they know that God is providing for their daily bread. Amen from the YWAMers? Amen. All right. I amen all by myself. When I was in college, my first ministry job, I was still in college, actually. I interned under Pastor Sam. And I believe it was my junior year, and the church decided to give me a salary of $300 US a month. 300 US is what, like 2,400 Hong Kong dollars a month. And so so I was happy about that. And then, but I was still in college. I was living in an apartment that costs about 1,200, 1,100, you know, a month. And so I had some roommates, and so we split it up. And so my portion of the rent came out to $300 a month just for rent. Now, I know I'm not a financial genius, and maybe I could use the help of some of the financial consultants in this room, but my income, $300 a month. My rent, $300 a month. And then you take the tithe, right? It's like, tithe, So $30 tithe, you know, whopping $30 of tithe. Once again, let's do the math. Follow me. $300 minus my tithe, $270. Income, $270. Rent, $300. We got a problem here. Right? Right? We got a problem, I think? Okay, right. We have a problem. Plus, I wanted to be dating some lovely girl. At that point, any girl. But any. It's going to cost money because women are expensive. $270 income, $300 rent. I still got to eat. I still got to date. Okay, I guess that's going to be a budget cut. No dating my junior year. And then, how am I going to eat? And, you know, while I was going through that, I had no idea how I made it through. But somehow I'm standing up here. Like, it's like magic. You know, I mean, it's not magic. It's God. But it's like incredible. Unfortunately, that for those 6 months during my junior year, I kid you not, probably averaged two meals, if not all three meals a day. We would have, you know, a collective rice cooker, you know, so we had, it was a collective rice, you know. So basically what I ate three meals a day, mostly two meals a day, was rice and soy sauce every single meal. That was how I survived, right? And then sometimes, you know, my roommates would bring, you know, leftover food from the restaurants they get. And so I tried to eat a little bit, and making it look like that, you know, you couldn't tell whether anyone was eating or not. Don't tell me I'm the only one that did that, y'all. Don't tell me I'm the only one that ate from my roommate's, you know, portion, right? 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 And so, you know, maybe I think, and then they started writing their names on, you know, their food and labeling and stuff like that. That was because of me. Hey, man, I had to survive, man. Yeah. But what I'm telling you is $270, rent $300, and all my other expenses, I have no idea how I made it. Except when God says, give us this day our daily bread, he's going to give you that day your daily bread. My wife has tons of stories about, she's a pastor's kid, and so living in a pastor's family, income and revenue is tough. And there would be many days where they wouldn't know when they're going to eat their next meal or how they're going to eat. And so they would get together as a family and they'd begin to pray. And a couple hours later, they would hear a knock on the door or the doorbell ring. And there would be some woman with a bag of groceries saying, I felt like that you needed some groceries today, so I brought it by. And it takes a whole new dimension around that meal table, around the dining table. When they begin to pray for that meal, and they say, God, thank you for this meal. Thank you for providing this food for a family. If you have ever gone to a mission trip to a poor area, and there are hundreds of families wondering where they're going to get their next meal. And as missionaries, as short-term missionaries, you go in and you provide their meal. And they grab your hand. And as they say grace around the meal, and they pray, God, thank you for providing our daily bread today through these missionaries. It takes on a whole new level of understanding that God is the one who uses people, who uses you to provide daily bread. Visited YWAM before we came to Hong Kong, heard tons of stories of people just not knowing how they're going to get their next meal, how they're going to get from place to place, and people just coming up and giving them exact money, exact change to the cent of what they needed. Give us this day our daily bread. Because it is not the will of God for you to go without your needs. In Psalm 37, it says, when I was young, and now I am old, I have yet to see the righteous forsaken or their children begging for bread. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Remember, God is going to provide for what you need and not necessarily what you want. He's not going to provide for your greeds, but he's going to provide for what you need. As we close, I kind of want to go just really quickly over what to do with your abundance, because all of us in this room are people that live in abundance. There's not a single person in this room, and some of you may be, you know, there may be someone in here offended, like, I am so poor. If you are here in this room, you are not poor, because somehow you've got legs, you've got arms, you've got ability. You are wealthy beyond what you understand. But you're in debt, you're whatever, it doesn't matter. You are still wealthy. And so I want to talk for the next few minutes about what to do with our wealth and what the Bible says about our wealth. The Bible talks about very clearly that we are blessed by God, that is part of the covenant of God to bless his people, that to give material possessions to his people. God's covenantal promise is for his people to enter into the promised land. So there's nothing wrong with wealth, and there's nothing wrong with blessing. There's nothing wrong with receiving material goods. But the directive is this. With your overflow, with your abundance, you need to give to the poor around you. Because material blessing was never viewed as an end in itself. The abundance of resources were to be shared among the nations, in particular with the needy. And then you look at the New Testament, and you look at the story of the parables, and we see that the material possession is meant to serve God wholeheartedly and his kingdom wholeheartedly. You remember the story of the rich young ruler, and he comes to Jesus, and he wants to be his disciples. A disciple, and what does Jesus say? I want you to sell everything that you have, and I want you to come follow me. And the end of the story is that guy was sad, and he said he couldn't do it. But Jesus called him on it. And then you look at the early church, the Acts 2 church. What did they do? They try to take Deuteronomy 15 very seriously, where it says, there shall be no one poor among you. And so what people did is that they sold their excess, their possessions. They laid money at the apostles' feet, and they said, this money is my excess. I want you to distribute it to everyone, anyone who has in need. And so you know Acts 2:42 very well, that they devoted themselves, but they gave everyone to who had need. And this wasn't a one-time deal, y'all. This isn't I feel bad in my heart, and we're having a fundraiser at church, and bam, here's some extra like leftover shirts. This was a constant, constant, ongoing thing as needs have been made known. And so God, part of his covenant is to bless his people with things and possessions. And it's good. Every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. But here's the thing. Material possessions are also one of the primary means of turning hearts away from God. The material possessions are one of the primary means of turning hearts away from God. I'm not talking about like, I'm rich and I have a lot of money, now I hate God. That's not what happens at all. But what happens is that we accumulate a lot of wealth and we think, wow, man, I studied hard, you know, I went to a good college, you know, I worked, you know, 80 hours a week and I did a great job, and now I can enjoy and relax in the fruit of my labor. This goes against the principle of Scripture, that your money is not the end result. That is not what you work for. That your money is, that you're a steward of it to fund the kingdom of God, or I should say to give to his people who are in need. Finally, the Bible talks about that those who have wealth, they're instructed in 1 Timothy not to put your hope in wealth, but to put your hope in God and to be generous. And so here's the key. Most of us have more than we need. God promises you to meet your needs and not your lifestyle. God promises you to meet your needs and not your lifestyle. If I could be honest, the lifestyle that we live is quite luxurious. Even myself. He promises to meet your needs, not your lifestyle. And so many of us have a hard time giving money to the poor, giving money to those in need, because we think it's a lot easier if we had just a little bit more in our bank account. If I just had a little bit more, you know, I could give a little bit more. Can I be honest and frank? We don't give to the needy. We don't give to the poor. We don't give our tithe because we simply don't trust God. We don't trust God, so we hold on to what is His already. Come on, somebody. Because just in case, tomorrow He doesn't provide. We don't give our tithes because we simply don't trust God. But I'm in debt. The quickest way to get out of debt, trust in God. But I need this. Or extreme bad circumstances are going to get going to happen to me. I'm going to get kicked out of my house. I'm going to have foreclosures on things. The easiest way to get out of that, because God's promise is that He will provide your needs, is to give God what is His. Man does not live on bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. And the mouth of the Lord says, do not worry about what you will eat or drink. Do not worry about tomorrow. Look at the birds of the air and the flowers of the field. Are they not taken care of? How much more will God take care of you? As I come for a landing, Larry, I'm going to come in for a landing here. This is where it gets crazy. I've saved the best for last. Give us this day our daily bread. In John chapter 6, Jesus feeds a multitude, 5,000. And what does He feed them with? He feeds them with bread and fish. He feeds, and there's leftovers of bread and fish. And now He goes away because the crowds are wanting to get at Him. And so He goes away, and the crowd follows Him across the sea. And He says, you follow Me because I have fed you with bread. And then now He says, I am the bread of life. That what you need for your sustenance is Me. I declare to you, I am the bread of life. Whoever eats from Me will never grow hungry. Who drinks from Me will never grow thirsty. I am the bread of life. And Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread. And so my prayer for you and my prayer for me, my prayer for our community is give us this day daily more and more of Jesus. Because He is the bread of life. Not more of my ability to accumulate wealth. See, this messes me up. Because I have to be honest, I want more than my daily need. And with that more, I want to save it just in case. But I know my heart is tugging and convicting me. Just in case what? Just in case God's not going to be there? That's impossible. Where is your faith? Where is your trust? And so I get emotional when we sing God is Able. Because I think deep down in my spirit, that's something that I struggle with. God, are You able? Are You able to get me out of debt? Are You able to provide for my family? Are You able to know what my future holds? Are you able to know that you have a man or a woman, for a single person, prepared for me? Are you able? And when we declare that as a community, God is able. He will never fail. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. When we declare the truth of God's word, that's when life has changed. I want to close with this video. And I show this video for a lot of different reasons. One of it mainly is actually to inspire some of the artists in our church, because God has gifted you. So go ahead and take a look. Give us this day our daily bread. Would you bow your heads with me? And I want you to meditate and think about and respond with what the Word of God has said. I've said many times before, my journey here to Hong Kong starts with the understanding that my life and the scriptures, that there's a huge gap between the two. And my desire is for my life to come in line with the truth of God's Word. And as I read God's Word, as I hear the voice of God, there's a lot of adjustments that I need to make. But I can't help it. I need to proclaim the truth that God is able to provide our daily needs, and He asks us to ask Him, give us this day our daily bread. I don't want poverty. I don't want riches. I ask only for my daily bread. And with the excess that I have, the abundance that I have, God is calling me and all of us to do something with that. That unless we recognize that what we have comes from the Lord, that we cannot hold on to what we have because it is His. And He has a plan to use that abundance and excess for His kingdom, His will, and His name. And so what we're going to do is, after we just spend some time meditating on that, and for some of us that means repentance. For some of that is just simply asking God, I need some daily bread right now. I want to give the opportunity to do that. And after that, we're going to have a special communion. In light of asking God for a daily bread, you're going to receive the daily bread today. And so let's pray together. If I could have the ushers come. I want to read from that John 6 passage where Jesus says, I am the bread of life. He continues to say, I tell you the truth, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink His blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at that last day. For my flesh is real food, and my blood is real drink. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood remains in me, and I in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your forefathers ate manna and died, but he who feeds on this bread will live forever. We're going to distribute the elements, and I want to encourage you to hold on to the elements as we're going to take it together. But today we're going to take it with a brand new understanding that God gives us our daily bread, and what you hold in your hands is God's provision. So let's worship as you receive the elements.
Sake of knowing you, glory of your name, to know the lasting joy, and even sharing in your name. And I surrender.
Body of Jesus Christ that was broken for you. This is his daily bread. And you hold in your hands the blood of Jesus Christ that was shed for you. As we partake it together in community, may you remember, give us this day our daily bread. Let's take it together. Lord, we remember you and we thank you for your faithfulness yesterday your faithfulness today and the trust and the promise that you'll be faithful tomorrow. And so, God, we remember you, the sacrifice that you did on the cross for us. God, we thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand together and let's close our service with the Lord's Prayer. And as you sing this final song, may you sing it with a different understanding of "Give us this day our daily bread." Of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of our Heavenly Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with those who trust that God will give us our daily bread. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys. Have a great weekend, and we'll see you next Sunday. Please say hi to somebody you don't know and make them feel welcome here at SP.